On Friday at Jackson Hole, Powell finally began the pivot from tightening interest rates to loosening interest rates. This is how it went.
The upside risks to inflation have diminished, and the downside risks to employment have increased. As we highlighted in our last FOMC statement, we are attentive to the risks to both sides of our dual mandate. The time has come for policy to adjust. The direction of travel is clear, and the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend on incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
So he was direct about it. I mean, I thought that when Powell pivoted, he would be less direct about it, but he was absolutely direct about the fact that now they are pivoting and now a rate cut is almost guaranteed at the September meeting. We also had the weekly candle on Bitcoin reflect that it closed above the 200 SMA, which is great. It kind of shows a weekly pivot in the sentiment. And so I tweeted on Friday and I said, look, if you're taking profits now, you're either a short-term trader or you don't know, you've never been part of a real crypto bull market before. You don't know what awaits you, because what awaits you is the aggressive part of the bull market. And really, up until now, we've had a lot of time to prepare and a lot of time to take our time around positioning our portfolios. But that's now finished. And you really have one last chance to position your portfolio for the next aggressive part of the bull market. I'm going to show you exactly why I think that's going to happen. I also tweeted this, which got a lot of hate. I said, between the 1st and 21st of September, there'll be an epic Bitcoin pump, a huge Bitcoin pump. And people were like, where's the evidence? Just canceled. Guys, I'm going to show you why I think between the 1st and 21st of September, we will get a massive Bitcoin pump. And we also got to talk about the arrest of the founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov.
There have been a number of wars and threats of war, precursors to war. Have you had any pressure from the government here, honestly, any pressure from the government here to reveal a backdoor into Telegram or to ban anyone or to make any changes to your business?
So that's the founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov. He's now been arrested in France. And if you look at the Telegram chart has come down. It's now at $5.58. Is this the end of Telegram? Should we be worried? Should we be selling all our Telegrams? We're going to discuss all of that on the show today. As you can see, this is like one of the busiest, biggest shows we've ever done. Let's get into it. There was so much going on the weekend, and I was like trying to toss up family time versus coming to do another stream, because there was so much going on between the Powell pivot, the RFK pivot, the Pavel Durov being arrested, and we had the Justin Sun interview yesterday. There was so much going on this weekend. So today I'm going to bring you a whole lot of alpha. I feel like we've got a whole lot of weekend stuff to catch up on. Guys, just quickly a reminder, if you're not already subscribed, we are getting very, 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 very close to the 1 million subscribers on Banter. When we get to 1 million subscribers on Banter and 350,000 subscribers on Banter Plus, that's when we give away the Banter bags. Now, you'll remember, we've got all these amazing projects in the Banter bags, but we've also got Orderly Network, which has just started trading on Bybit. You can see us trading at 1.8, which means that that bag is up 2x already. For those of you who don't know what Orderly is, it's a permissionless liquidity layer for Web3, which means that if you are building a derivatives desk and you want a derivatives product and you want shared liquidity, you can go to Orderly. This is one of those projects that's been around for a hell of a long time. So one of these real solid building projects, and they gave us money to put into the Banter bag. So we'll keep watching it. All right, let's not waste too much time. I'm counting on you guys to smash the like. Today, we've got so much alpha, you cannot believe. I'm going to talk about narratives which are going to run, how to position your altcoin portfolio. We're going to look at Telegram and see whether our bags were safe. I'm going to show you why there's going to be a breakout. So much going on. I don't even have time to talk about it in the intro. So I'm just counting on you guys to just destroy the like button. The more likes you get, the more alpha I'll give. Hopefully, with all the likes, I can just give away all the alpha over here. Josh once told me he was going to hide the tabs, but then I don't know what happened. It's one of those things where he forgot to hide the tabs. Or maybe he'll do it now in the next transition. All right, let's go through the charts. And the charts really tell a story this week. This is one of those weeks where the charts really, really, really tell the story of what happened this week. So what you can see is Bitcoin now closed the weekly over the 200-day moving average and in what they call the bull market support band. So we almost went, this last weekly close was almost like a a very important weekly close because there was a change in sentiment. We went from bear market sentiment into bull market sentiment. So looking at it from the 200-day moving average, looking at it from the bull market support band, it does seem like that's basically what happened. Also, if you look at it from a monthly point of view, so if you look at the monthly candle, look at that monthly candle. This monthly candle has been absolutely brutal for Bitcoin. So what you can see is that we went all the way down in this monthly candle. Let me just stretch that out first so we can actually see it. But what you can see here is that we went all the way down in that monthly candle when we had all the turmoil around Bitcoin earlier. And then we recovered. And that is what you call a hammer candle. So, Josh, I just want to align with you. Can we agree that this is now a bullish hammer candle? Because last time I told you there was a bullish hammer candle, you said it's not a bullish hammer candle. So can we agree that this time it is a bullish hammer candle? So we agree. Amazing. So if you look at what a bullish hammer candle actually is on the monthly, it really does tell the story of what the fundamentals are telling us. The hammer candlestick is a bullish trading pattern that suggests a stock, or in this case, a crypto, has found its bottom and is poised for a trend reversal. That means that the sellers entered the market, drove the price down, but were eventually outnumbered by the purchasers who drove the asset price up. And you can see that pretty clearly. This is where the sellers drove the price down, and then the purchasers came in and pushed it back up. And that's why they call it a hammer candle. And it's a very, very, very bullish candle. It does reflect the change of pace, so to speak, of Bitcoin. It does replace the change in sentiment for Bitcoin at the moment. What you can see is that we had a consolidation period, and the consolidation period was a long consolidation period. I think we'll all agree to that. I think nobody's going to argue about that. We had a long consolidation period, but actually not as long as 2023. The consolidation period in 2023 lasted 224 days, okay? And relative to this one, which lasted, let's just quickly take this back into daily. I think it was about 180 days. So let's just quickly check the number of days, but I think it was about 180 days. I really need to clean up my chart. It's starting to look a little bit like a Christmas tree. So far, this consolidation has been about 180 days. And again, we compare that to the consolidation which happened in 2023, which was about 224 days. So if we were to align exactly on this, we would get a breakout, which would be somewhere around October 2024. I tweeted this weekend that between the 1st and 21st of September, there will be a huge Bitcoin pump. And I want to show you how I got to the specific dates around the 1st to the 21st of September. My first part of the thesis says, okay, well, we had this summer, the Bitcoin consolidation over the European and the American summer. And during that period, it might have been coincidental, but during that period, a lot of selling actually took place. So if you look at the sellers that actually took place in the period where all the big people were actually on vacation. So you had Genesis, which was selling. You had Jump, which was selling. You had Grayscale, which was selling. You had Germany, which sold. You had Mt. Gox, which sold. And BlackRock was actually there and actually buying it. But the idea is to say, we had this massive supply overhang during the investment bankers' summer, the fund manager summer. All of a sudden, all of these entities actually started to sell. And it just so happened that this happened whilst the investment bankers were all on vacation. Now, I want to just quickly highlight to you how real this investment bankers' vacation is. So I needed to submit tax forms. So in South Africa, we have to make our tax payments by the end of August, which is in like 3 or 4 days. And so what I needed to do was I needed to get tax forms from international clearinghouses, from international banks. And I kind of want to show you what actually happened. So first thing is I sent a request to one of the clearinghouses, the equities clearinghouses, and it said, we have submitted your request to a clearing firm through the electronic customer portal. We'll forward your statements to you as soon as we receive them. Given the time of year, I'm a bit skeptical about when you'll receive a response since our regular contact is now on vacation and he's not due back for 2 weeks. I myself will also be out of office next week. So, like, there's no one there. Please feel free to stay in touch as we know the receiving this information is important to you. There's no one there. There's literally no one there to do your request. Okay, so then I sent a request to one of my bank accounts and I said, thank you. I sent a request to one of my bankers and I said, look, I just need a statement so I can just send it into, you know, the IRS here. And they said, thank you for your message. I'm out with limited access to my inbox from August 19th to September 6th. Included. During my absence, please contact my colleagues, Andres or Veronica. Okay, cool. Another one's gone. And then, of course, I reached out to Veronica And she said, thank you for your message. I will be out from August 22nd to August 27th for urgent matters. Please contact. And I kept doing this and there's no one to actually talk to. And that made me realize that what we are experiencing now is we are experiencing a period where literally everybody in traditional finance is not at their desk. There's literally no one to actually be buying. People are on the last stretch of the vacation. So the vacation period is probably, you could say, like a 3-month vacation period, like June, July, August. But the thing is, in the last couple of weeks, in the last week of August, and maybe even the beginning of September, it's like the end of the vacation. So what happens is all the bankers and everyone actually go and take that. You know, they may not have taken a vacation or they may have taken multiple vacations. But that last week is like that last chance to take a vacation before you actually have to come back to work. And then you like have to work. Get this, you have to work for September, October, November, and then December, it's Christmas. So like, you know, we don't really work during the Christmas break, right? So why I am so confident that we are going to get some kind of pump between the 21st of September and between the 1st and the 21st of September is pretty simply because these bankers are going to be coming back from vacation. The same people that sent me all of these emails, and you can see this is like 4 out of 4 people that I actually try to contact, and there's no one around. Like there's fucking no one at work, okay? They're going to get back to work sometime between the 1st and the 6th of September, right? When they get back to work, the first order of business is they're going to come back to work and they're going to see, holy shit, there has been a pivot. So when they went away, remember that when these guys all went away, the narrative was Powell is looking at inflation, Powell is waiting for the jobs numbers, and at some point there's going to be a pivot. Fast forward until they come back at the end of their holidays, and bang, we've had this incredible pivot. And Powell held back no words in this pivot. He was like, all right, let's go. Remember, the Fed's mandate is to manage inflation and to manage unemployment. That's all the Fed actually cares about. And so this is what Powell had to say at Jackson Hole.
Pause earlier this year, progress toward our 2% objective has resumed. My confidence has grown that inflation is on a sustainable path back to 2%.
So inflation on a sustainable path to 2%. And now he's turning onto the job market. And what does he have to say about the job market? Well, let me play it for you.
Those with lower incomes. Today, the labor market has cooled considerably from its formerly overheated state. The unemployment rate began to rise over a year ago and is now at 4.3%. Still low by historical standards, but almost a full percentage point above its level in early 2023. Most of that increase has come over the past 6 months. So far, rising unemployment has not been the result of...
Okay, so unemployment also now looks good. And then he basically goes on and he summarized the whole thing here. So listen to this.
Overall, the economy continues to grow at a solid pace, but the inflation and labor market data show an evolving situation. The upside risks to inflation have diminished, and the downside risks to employment have increased. As we highlighted in our last FOMC statement, we are attentive to the risks to both sides of our dual mandate. The time has come for policy to adjust. The direction of travel is clear, and the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend on incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
When they went away, Powell hadn't yet pivoted. They came back.
Everything we can to support a strong labor market as we make further progress toward price stability.
And now they came back and Powell's basically pivoted. He's basically saying, look, the time has come to actually pivot. And what he's actually done with the actual pivot is he's basically cemented the fact that we're going to get a rate cut. I think, is the market still forecasting more than one rate cut? Let's just have a look here. So the market is forecasting that the internet's not working so well. 65% cut of a single rate cut and 34% chance of a double rate cut. So that is what the market is now predicting. And as he said that on Friday, every single risk market basically went into the banana zone. And that was the official pivot, the official Powell turn from hawkish to dovish. S&P 500 went up, Bitcoin went up, NASDAQ went up, Ethereum went up, pretty much every single risk asset went up. And I think it's the beginning of a very, very, very sustainable pump. Now, of course, you have this, the skeptics who are saying if history rhymes, This was the 2007 headline. We all know after 2007, the whole market imploded in 2008, right? Well, that's not really true. That is what happens when people selectively use data sets, right? So yes, in 2000s, every time that there's been a rate cut, the market has followed going down afterwards. But if you go further back in history, then what you can see is it's not always like that. Sometimes there are rate cuts and the market actually goes up. So it's just, there's no real rule. And for me, when I look at the situation that we're in now, I think that this rate cut is not as a result of a market collapse. If you think about 2001 and if you think about 2008, when the Fed actually cut rates, that was because something in the market was structurally broken. Here, there's nothing structurally broken in the market. Look, the market is not perfectly healthy, but the market, there's nothing structurally broken with the market. And so as a result, I think that we're going to get a reduction in interest rates. And I think risk markets are actually going to start going up. And you can see that. You can see that in 89, when the Fed cut, the market went up. In 1995, when the Fed cut, the market went up. It's only since 01 and 07 when we had the dot-com collapse and the housing market collapse where the markets actually went down. I see Casper saying another amazing show in progress. If you think it's an amazing show, smash the likes. This is the worst number of likes that we've ever had in a show, 16 minutes into a show. We've never had such a weak show from a likes point of view, 16 minutes into the show. In fact, at one point, I thought maybe I was doing something wrong. So that was the first part of the pivot. We had Powell pivoting from hawkish to dovish and basically cementing the new phase of increased liquidity into the market. The next pivot that happened before the weekend on Friday was the pivot in the presidential race. So what happened in the presidential race on Friday was that we had RFK basically drop out of the race and endorse Trump. Now, the fact that he did it is one thing. But the way that he did it is what made the Democrats basically crumble and fall apart, right? So he didn't just endorse Trump. He basically lambasted it's a 45-minute speech, but he lambasted the Democrats. I'm going to play you 1 minute.
Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent, and now to throw my support to President Trump. The causes were free speech, a war in Ukraine, and the war on our children. We were the party of labor, of the working class. The Democrats were the party of government transparency and the champion of the environment. Our party was the bulwark against big money interests and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of democracy. As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money. When it abandoned democracy by canceling the primary to conceal the
it was much more the way that he did it, by basically saying they've become the party of war, the party of big pharma, the party of no freedom of speech. And as a Kennedy, just think about this, like his uncle and his father were like probably the most notable Democrats out there. And as a Kennedy, you now have a Kennedy supporting Trump. And Trump is teasing that actually there's a lot of other Democrats that are going to be coming across to his campaign. So that really made the Democrats crumble. And, he's now fully behind Trump and campaigning behind Trump. And that is another reason why we got this pump, because the odds shifted away from Kamala back to Donald Trump. I think the sad thing is that RFK didn't have, even though there were assassinations or assassination attempts on his father and his uncle, assassinations and assassination attempts, he didn't get Secret Service policing. And he only got it after Donald Trump's assassination attempt, where Trump tweeted, and he said, well, I don't know if he tweeted, but he told Joe Biden that he thinks that RFK should get Secret Service covers. And, I mean, the White House ended the Secret Service. They offered it to him on the 15th of July, 2 days after Trump assassination. They're forcing RFK to now go and do it with Trump. The reality is, though, I mean, look, since someone commented, said, what if he's not What's the legal rationale for actually maintaining it? He's not a government official and he isn't a presidential candidate anymore. But still, I mean, pretty sad given the history that they're now going to do that. So remember that the bankers, which were away, went away before the pivot, and they went away when there was no Trump versus Kamala, and they're coming back, and it's Trump versus Kamala, Trump in the lead, and you've got the Fed pivot. And so I think that when they get back, we're going to start seeing a huge Bitcoin pump and a huge crypto pump. And that's why I tweeted, look, we had a great day on Friday. And some people I saw were actually taking profits on Friday. And I was like, cool, if you're taking profits now, you're either one of two things. Either you are a short-term trader, in which case, respect, because you're closing some positions, or you've just never seen a crypto bull market before. Because if you have seen a crypto bull market before, what you know is that when all the metrics actually line up, that is when the bull market is about to start. And when the bull market starts on Total 3, this is the weekly, but just look at how quickly the weekly aggressive part of the bull market actually happens. You can see it over there. And so, you know, you've now got all these pivots happening, and then you look at the actual metrics. A couple of things. One is the market has basically reset. If you look at the altcoin open interest versus the Bitcoin open interest, so the orange against the blue. The orange is the altcoin open interest and the blue is the Bitcoin open interest. You can see in April, we were degening on altcoins. Now we're not really degening on altcoins. We're actually back to like probably a healthy mix of degening. So the market's reset. Also, if you look at the altcoin dominance trend line, which has held up for years, what you can see is the dominance of altcoin dominance trend line keeps going, is now starting to go into that bull market territory. The other one to talk about is the stablecoin supply. So when I say the stablecoin supply, that is the stablecoin supply, and it's actually at all-time highs. It doesn't look like it's at all-time highs because this includes algorithmic stablecoins. But if you look at the fiat-backed stablecoins that are now on the blockchain, what you can see is that is now at an all-time high. So all of these are lining up for a massive bull market, specifically on alts. And as I've said, up until now, I would say, look, we had a lot of time because we had a long consolidation period, like this consolidation period over here, massive long consolidation period to actually get into altcoins. But now there is a bullish pattern that's forming, and I don't know if it'll break out this week or next week, but I do know that we are going to break out. And when we do break out here, it's going to be very quick. It's going to be something like this. And so at that point, you've got to be positioned correctly. Someone said, if this is altcoin Sherpa, he says, if this is going to be a sustained rally, you're going to want to start getting long in the next few red days. This usually happens at the start of an uptrend. Lots of doubt, confusion on the first red days. Sly, don't blame me for being patient. Not my style, but I think what he's saying is right. I don't think that you need to ape everything in today, but from now on, if we get red days and you're not aping into those red days, it's really your last chance to actually start positioning yourself. You can see it when you look at the Bantam Bubbles over here and you look at the weekly. Just look at the moves that we had in the first, you could say, week of the pivot. This is like the first week of the pivot. It's going to start getting quite aggressive here, which is why when you start getting the pullbacks now, you got to be going all in on those pullbacks. This is it. The dress rehearsals are finished. The prep time is finished. The preparations for the Olympics are finished. The next time the gun goes off, we're basically in the stadium and we're actually running like crazy people, right? And so basically what I would start doing now is I start preparing a portfolio. I'd really, really, really start preparing a portfolio. In fact, I'd start preparing myself. Now, look, this is not the only portfolio, but I think it's a pretty good portfolio. I don't think you should be discounting ETH. I think you should have Sol, Arweave, Near because it's the AI play, Injective because I think Injective is just a great token to be holding, Super because it gives you gaming exposure, Phantom, Rune, Kujira because I think you want to be playing in distressed assets, ENS because you want an ETH play, Pepecoin because Pepecoin and based AI represent the AI exposure, and then of course more Arweave and some Axelar. So I do think that you need to start preparing your portfolio because things are going to start moving pretty quickly. And I'm not saying that this is the portfolio that you should be holding, but I'm just saying now is the time to actually start running, to actually really, really, really start running, to prepare yourself. Also, over the next like couple of weeks, months, what you're going to start realizing is that the market is going to be much, much, much more responsive to news, right? So like news now is that we have the NVIDIA results. They're coming out on the 28th of August, which is Wednesday, right? And what you can see in advance of that, if you look at the bubbles, you'll see that the AI plays have actually started earning. So have actually started exploding. So just look at Fetch AI, up 65% in the last week. Render up 41%. Near up 24%. That is the AI narrative actually running ahead of the NVIDIA earnings. And it seems like the earnings announcement is, or the market move during the earnings announcement is the way to do it. Now, in terms of preparing yourself for the AI narrative play, what I recommend is start looking at the good quality AI coins if you haven't started already. These are the good quality AI coins that we think. There's going to be lots of AI coins. And I did see Alex Becker's video, great video on the weekend. But he calls a whole lot of small caps that I don't think are sustainable. Maybe they will have a good pump specifically when he talks about them. But I would rather get into quality. Maybe make less, but also keep more. So Near, Render, BitTensor. I'm not worried about BitTensor's market cap to FTV because it's a proof of work coin, basically. And it just keeps releasing coins. Arweave, Akash. Akash and AOS will probably run because they'll probably talk about the scarcity in GPU power. Render probably ran for the same reason. Based AI and Peppercoin, Delicium and Claw.ai. I would look at all of these as a decent AI portfolio going into NVIDIA earnings. The other thing that I would start looking at because the market is becoming more responsive to news is Solana. There's still breakpoint coming up. And I just want to show you what happens to the Solana ecosystem when the markets actually start running. I mean, just look at these runs that you're getting. These are one-day runs, by the way. And of course, all of this was called in Frontrunners. I know a lot of people joined Frontrunners last week. Well done to you if you joined and you got accepted. If you do want to join, now the waiting list is pretty closed. But what I recommend you do is sign up for the waiting list. If anybody like drops out or whatever else, we'll actually get you there. So that's where you're going to sign up. Also, if you are in Frontrunners, and you entered, well, you automatically entered to the competition to win a plane ticket and accommodation in Singapore to come and join us at the Banter Party. Tomorrow, we'll be doing that pick live on the actual show. So all of these things were actually called in Frontrunners. All these like Solana plays were actually called in Frontrunners. So congratulations to anyone who actually got them. So as I was saying, I think now what you want to be doing is you want to start positioning your portfolio and actually positioning your entire selves, like your whole, like, do you have an exchange? Do you have the right exchanges? Now, let's just quickly look at exchanges. Number one, if you're not already signed up to Bybit, I suggest that you sign up to Bybit very, very, very quickly. And I'll explain to you why. Specifically, I just want to make sure that I get this right. If you are a VIP, so if you are a big trader, let's say that you are a VIP big trader. When I say a big trader, if you can deposit $100,000 and you trade $8 million, okay? If you do that, not only do you get a chance to win the Cybertruck, which is happening in a couple of days, or hopefully happening if we can hit the volume targets, but you also get the following deal if you deposit $100,000. Number one, you get $5,000 bonus immediately. Second, you only pay $3,200 in fees and you'll obviously earn the $5,000 bonus. You trade $8 million and you receive the $5,000 bonus, which is not a lot. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but remember, you're trading perpetuals. The next thing is, if you do enter this, you could actually join us to go to Singapore to the actual Grand Prix. So listen, sign up with us. We're having a Grand Prix party. So sign up with us. And if you are eligible, if you are a big trader on Bybit, if you're not a big trader, I still recommend that you join Bybit so you can actually start, you can actually win the Cybertruck. There's 19 days to win a Cybertruck. And if you don't get a Cybertruck in your country, either if it's legal, we can ship it to you if possible. If not, we can just give you the cash for Cybertruck. So I think it's very, very, very much worth it. I see I'm getting I just got a message saying Bybit is listing Sundogs Perpetuals today. We have some budget for giveaway for our community. Wow. Deposit $100 and get 500 USDT worth Sundog positions. So it's $20 times 25x leverage. So if you want to sign up and trade Sundog, remember Justin Sun was on the show yesterday, then you can do that. That's happening right now. I actually got the message live on the show as we speaking. All right, let's talk about, so that is how you should prepare. And again, I say, I don't think you have much more time to prepare. I think this is it. Like the dress rehearsals are over. The next time that the gun goes off, basically we are running on the track and then there's no time to slow down. There's no time to look around. But I think that you guys should be well positioned. Let us, Let us have a look at what happened on the weekend with Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram. Now, as you may have heard, the founder was actually arrested. The founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov, is a billionaire. He's a Russian-French billionaire. And he was arrested in France while refueling his private jet. He is in custody. And today, the Parisian authorities will actually come out and give a statement. They haven't given out any statement. We don't know what he's charged. We don't know what he's charged with. In fact, no one knows what he's charged with. Even the Russian government, who's trying to get information, no one knows what he's charged with. Funny this, that he's a dual citizen. He's a citizen of France and he's a citizen of Russia. And Russia is basically saying, give us information. And France saying, look, he is first a resident or a citizen of France, and we don't actually need to give you information. And so there's lots of problems that are happening there. Now, we think this has something to do with censorship, and we think this has something to do with an arrest around money laundering, drug trafficking, and anything that happens on the Telegram app. And Telegram came out of the message and they said, Telegram abides by the EU laws, including the Digital Service Act. Its moderation is within industry standards and constantly improving. Telegram CEO Pavel Durov has nothing to hide and travels in Europe frequently. It's absurd to claim that a platform or its owners are responsible for the abuse of the platform. Almost a billion users globally use Telegram as a means of communication and as a source of vital communication. We're awaiting a prompt resolution. Telegram is with you all. If you look at Polymarkets, what you will notice is that Polymarkets gives it a 31% chance that Pavel Durov will be released in August. And these charges are pretty serious because the charges carry up to a 20-year sentence, basically. There's up to a 20-year sentence if he's proven guilty. Now, look, I think we know what this is all about. This has got nothing to do with guilty or innocent. This has got to do with not censoring and not being part of the establishment and fighting for freedom of speech. And the message that the French authorities have basically sent out is that if you're going to fight for freedom of speech, if you're going to fight for freedom of speech against the establishment, then we will come for you. And we will not leave any stone unturned until we get there. That's basically what they've come, what's happened here. Now, a lot of people say, okay, well, this is happening in France. Doesn't really affect me. I need to be very, very, very clear about how important this is. I cannot begin to explain to you how important it is that Pavel and Telegram win this. Because it's our rights that are at stake. Regardless of where you live in the world. If owners of social media platforms, when they travel through countries in Europe and through the United States and any other country, if they get arrested when this happens, basically what they're saying to you is that we will never have free speech platforms. That's basically what we're saying here. That no matter where you live in the world, if France decides that anytime one of these owners actually flies through France, anytime one of these owners flies through France, they may or may not be arrested. That means that essentially we will not have a free speech platform in our array of platforms that we actually use. Simply, we just won't have a platform. And David Sacks actually called this correctly. TikTok first, now they're going to go for Telegram, and next they're going to go for X. Now, of course, it will be very different when they go for X because, you know, France can't go for an American. But rest assured that America is going to go for Elon Musk. They are going to go for him for sure because he's against the establishment, because he is for free speech. And that doesn't suit the agenda of the deep state, so to speak. And so now there's, you know, we need to all make sure that Pavel Durov actually gets out of this because it's our freedom that's at stake. No matter where you are in the world, it's actually your freedom that's actually at stake. The other thing which is pretty much notable, something that should be noted, is that I guarantee you that during this arrest, Pavel Durov's bank accounts have been frozen. I guarantee you, the guy is a multi-billionaire, and I guarantee you that most of his bank accounts have been frozen. And I said that, rest assured, Pavel Durov's bank accounts will be frozen. He has $100 million in Bitcoin. He's spoken about this before, and they can't touch that. Now you're starting to get the power of Bitcoin. Just put yourself in his shoes. And you've got to pay a whole lot of fancy lawyers and you've got to keep paying the bills and you've got to keep paying the mortgages and whatever else you want to be paying. And the government has basically destroyed or frozen all your assets and they start off by freezing your bank account. What do? You're basically screwed. The only money that he would have access to here is his Bitcoin. The only money that John McAfee had access to was his Bitcoin. All his bank accounts were destroyed. All his bank accounts were frozen, right? And so Essentially, what you're starting to realize now is just how important it is that you have some of your wealth in Bitcoin. You never know, even though you're not doing anything wrong, you may just be fighting for free speech. You may just be in the UK and you may just be tweeting something about a social media stance that you've got on social media, and then you get arrested. And the first thing that happens when you get arrested is your bank account gets frozen. And then how do you pay your lawyers? You can't even pay your lawyers. You can't even put down a down payment. And that is why it's so important that you have a big percentage, or at least some percentage of your wealth in Bitcoin. It's super, super, super important. The other thing which is super important here is that, you know, the funny thing is when I was growing up, the media always said to me that, you know, the Russians are bad and China are bad. And the reason why Russia and China are bad is because when you go to Russia and when you go to China, there's no freedom of speech. They are socialist countries. You cannot say what you want to say because you risk bad things happen to you, arrest and whatever else. That is how I grew up with, that is how the mainstream media tried to make me perceive Russia and China as I was growing up. They were always the place where there was no freedom of speech, where there was no freedom of expression. Where there was socialism and communism and all those things. But now, the exact same things that we grew up, the mainstream media told us were bad about Russia and China, are the exact same things which the governments are actually doing it. The other thing which is important here is, you have to be having money in Bitcoin. Now, again, if you have, someone said very much, I said, rest assured that all of Pavel Durov's bank accounts will probably be frozen, but he has 100 million plus in Bitcoin. They can't touch that. Now you're starting to get it. And someone said here, and he's right, unless, and I think what he says, unless your money is on exchanges, because if your money is on exchanges, if your Bitcoin are on exchanges, rest assured that those exchange accounts also won't be able to pay you out. And so that's why I think it's so important that you self-custody your Bitcoin. So it's not only about custody, it's about self-custody of your Bitcoin, right? Even if it's not all your Bitcoin, I don't recommend you leave any of your Bitcoin on exchanges. There's absolutely no reason to leave Bitcoin on exchanges. Self-custody your Bitcoin. And if you're going to self-custody your Bitcoin, self-custody them on the ledger. I don't know if, can we get a ledger link here? Once you finish this beautiful thing that they put on the side here, you should get one of the new ledgers because they look like the Apple iPhone, and the usability is absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. You can see it here on the side of the screen. Jeez, that was a good integration, the way you guys did that. It was fantastic. You see, look at that. That is designed by the guy that designed the iPhone. Now, this is when you realize how important it is that you self-custody your actual assets. Josh, can we put a ledger link at the bottom here so that they can actually get a ledger, the discount that we actually get for our Banter people? All right, let's do that before the end of the show. All right, so in response to everything that's happening, the founder of Rumble is like basically shitting in his pants. And he's like, listen, I'm leaving Europe. I can't stay in Europe. This is too crazy. They're coming for freedom of speech. I can't stay in Europe. And I mean, I read this. It says, China just arrested the billionaire founder of a free speech messaging app for not moderating and censoring the content to their liking. Iran is arresting their own citizens for posting things they didn't approve. Just kidding. That was France and England. I mean, it's true that this is what's going on. Like, you have to open your eyes and see what the hell is actually going on. So let's look at the reactions to what's actually happening out there. So the reactions, number one, the Telegram price, $5.60. It was at about $7 before this all happened. Because of course, if the founder is going to go to prison, then, you know, everyone's panicking. Everyone's starting to sell their tokens. So we've got to watch the price. Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, says, El Salvador is not only the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, but we guarantee you won't be arrested or censored or have your assets seized for exercising your right to freedom of speech. That's big. Edwin Snowden says the arrest of Durov is an assault on basic human rights, speech, and association. I'm surprised and deeply saddened that Macron has descended to the level of taking hostages as a means for gaining access to private communications. It lowers not only France, but it lowers the world. Ryan Adams says, where are the politicians denouncing the arrest of Pavel Durov? Why is no one applying pressure to get him out? This is the most blatant assault on freedom of speech I've ever seen. Obviously, because do you think the Democrats are going to go and go for him? I mean, Russia apparently is going for him, but France is saying, no, he's a French citizen first. RFK, obviously very, very, very much on the side of freedom of speech. So he's actually reaching out there. Russia says, Pavel Durov is a political prisoner and a victim of a witch hunt by the West. So, I mean, it just turns out that Russia is actually looking more like the good guys than France is. So That's what it is. I think it's also a good time to be talking about privacy. Like, this is where you realize your right for privacy. One of the protocols that does give you privacy is data ownership protocol, DOP.org. Now, they allow you to do transactions that aren't seen on the Blockchain Explorer. Go and check it out, DOP.org. There's a link below. Just go and check it out. I mean, I'm not, you know, again, this is, I'm not shilling you the token, but I do think that you should be looking at multiple privacy solutions. So, guys, that's pretty much it. Just remember, did we put a link to the ledger, Josh? Let me just refresh that you guys can see the link. If you use this link, you get all the banter discounts.
Go and check it out, DOP.org.
Okay, so you get all the banter discounts, and here we go. You support the channel as well. There's the link. Click on it. Great link, Ledger Run. And you buy yourself one of these devices. Again, you never know what's going to happen. You never know if you're in the UK, you're going to tweet something. All your accounts are going to be blocked, and you're going to need access for money to pay lawyers and stuff like that. If you want to sign up to Kyle's Whale School, I made an exception for you guys. So.
And you cut everything and you pay the cap.
Since your first day on Banter, like yourself, I'm long Bitcoin, around 18K. Where do you cut that really long-term position?
So what you can do is you can hedge against the position. Let's say we get the bounce up now, because I'm obviously in the same trade. So what I'm kind of doing now is I'm just observing as price bounces towards $65,000. And then I'll be looking to potentially take a very, very, very big short trade. It needs to be a big enough short trade that would hedge against your long position, and then obviously when that gets to the bottom of the next support, you can just flip that straight into a leverage long. Otherwise,
this is the last time that Kyle's doing his trading course for free. If you want to join, we'll put a link in below. There's no link, Josh. If we could get a Whale School trading link there as well. There's one now. Okay, so there is a Whale School trading link. It will tell you that it's full. So just watch this. When you click the Whale School trading link, and it's an amazing.
Obviously, when that gets to the bottom of the next support, you can just flip that straight into a leverage.
Kyle's an amazing, amazing, amazing trader. He's an amazing teacher as well. So if you go look at, where do I find it, sir? I don't see it. I see DOP, Levana. Okay, let's see if we can get in there. Anyway, it'll tell you when you go there.
So if you
when you go there, it'll tell you that it's full. Don't worry about that, because we'll just let in the waiting list. So... okay, it'll be in a second. When you get there, it will tell you that it's full, but just ignore that. All right, guys, we can take one last look at the markets. Let's look at it today. Helium up, Fetch up. That's the Solana narrative. Jupiter up, Solana narrative. The AI narrative, which we spoke about earlier. Otherwise, I think Bitcoin is pretty much holding 63,550. Remember, you want some consolidation at this level before the next move up. You don't want it just to keep going up. And I think that's exactly what's happening. I shall see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.